Welcome to the Mo Money, Mo Progress podcast. We bring you interviews with amazing people who share advice about how to make more money and manage what you got.
Hello and welcome to our season finale. Season one is wrapping up of the Mo Money, Mo Progress podcast. Thank you so much for listening in today. This podcast started with a dream to interview amazing people in the personal finance world and creative entrepreneurs about how they've made mo money and mo progress. So if this is the first episode that you're listening to today, you might have found us on Instagram or randomly surfing the interwebs. I highly encourage you to go back and listen to some past episodes with some amazing guests. But today, we have an amazing personal finance expert and entrepreneur. Leslie Ann Scorgi joined us for an incredible conversation. Now, she is truly doing it all. She's a personal finance expert, best-selling author, world-class speaker, and entrepreneur. She has been a guest on The Oprah Show. Yes, she has met Oprah. She's also the best-selling author of several books and has been in tons of national media, including MTV, The Marilyn Dennis Show, just to name a few. She's also been on the Top 40 Under 40 list, Top 100 Most Powerful Women list. She's a philanthropist. Oh my God, she's just incredible. So she will truly teach you in this interview everything you need to know about how to make mo money and mo progress. Hello, Leslie Ann. Welcome to the show.
Thanks, Gwen. Happy to be here.
I am thrilled to interview you, but as mentioned, excited to throw some rapid fire questions at you to start.
I'm happy to answer them.
Excellent. Okay, so my first question for you is, what is your greatest extravagance?
Well, I'm a believer that you don't have to spend a lot to enjoy yourself. So, typical girl, I really enjoy getting my nails done from time to time. But really, my greatest extravagance is the ability to travel. And I love seeing a new part of the world every year. And thankfully, my partner and I were able to do that. And he and I like really just enjoy getting out and, you know, traveling while we're healthy, happy, and young enough to do that.
Sounds beautiful. That's the dream, right? It's just being able to go where you want to go when you want. So what is the first thing that comes to mind when you hear the word money?
In my experience as a financial coach and expert, when I think of money, I often associate it with the lack of it and debt. Certainly in North America, there's huge struggles in the typical household with not having enough. And I grew up in one of those households where we had very little. And so when I was starting to learn about money when I was younger, the word money had a lot of negative association with it. Things like debt, not having enough. And it wasn't until I started saving my money at the age of 10, which is pretty early, that I realized money could actually have a really positive connotation to it. And it is something that can empower and enable you to chase your dreams. So when I think of money today, I think it is something people worry about. Yeah. But I also am a firm believer that with some good planning in place and some good skills, it can be that empowering and enabling factor in your life.
I love that. It's true. It's worry and anxiety, but you know, you're helping people to make it empowering. What is your favorite financial tool or app that you might use?
You know, I am not very creative in this department. I really stick to online banking platforms, and of which I'm familiar with most of the big banking platforms just with the work that I do. And many of them today have budgeting tools, reconciliation of your spending into really cool pie charts and whatnot. I'm also very biased. I think that as my business grows and we're quickly expanding into the online space, I think we've got a pretty great platform.
Which we will get into, of course.
That's great.
And what is something that you patiently saved up for to buy?
Oh gosh, my very first house. When I purchased that at the age of 21, I had scrimped and saved all throughout university, $50 here, $100 there, to have just enough for a down payment. And it took about 5 years to save enough to make that down payment, but it was so awesome to have my own place. And it was not a mansion by any stretch. It was a tiny little house, but it was all my own, and just to be in my own walls and to choose the paint color was fantastic. So that was a really great reward. But when I was a lot younger, I patiently saved up for my very first bike at the age of 10. And that story is really interesting. The whole reason I really became interested in money management was at the age of 10, I'd received about $100 from my grandparents in birthday money. And my mom sat me down and said, okay, Leslie Ann, you can use that money to buy a Canada savings bond, or you can buy this bicycle. And I was like, well, I'm going to buy the bike. And she said, well, let me tell you about how awesome it would be if you bought this bond instead, because $100 will turn into $135 in about 7 years. And that's the power of compounded interest and reinvested returns. I was like, all right, that's interesting, Mom, but I still want my bike. And she said, well, here's an idea. The local flyer company was looking for people to deliver flyers. And she gave me the ad and said, well, why don't you and your brother and sister take on a flyer route and start to save your money for this bicycle? And I did that. I actually took on two flyer routes and hired my brother and sister to work for me. And we delivered flyers. And within about 8 weeks or so, 6 to 8 weeks between the paycheck from that and a little bit of, chores around the house and some babysitting, I had saved another $100, which was enough to get my bike. And that lesson of saving for something that you want is something that stuck with me even today. To feel the reward of still having the things that you want, in my case, it was a bicycle, while saving. And in that case, it was also by purchasing that Canada savings bond at that same time. So my mom had a really cool lesson, and I still think back to it today.
Oh man, it's great because you found a way to have it all at such a young age. So say we're gifted $10,000 today, no strings attached. She just came into 10 grand. What would you do with that money?
Oh, I'd love 10 grand. I think I'd probably just save it. You know, we're really lucky. I got started saving money early on and own a home and a car and whatnot. And so I don't feel like there's any immediate pressing needs in my personal life. However, I am a big proponent of investing in your own business, mm-hmm. so long as it's got a good business plan and cash flowing. And perhaps I'd use that $10,000 to continue to grow my business.
Oh, yes. And we're getting into that business very soon. And my last quick kind of question for you is, what is your favorite financial book or resource?
I'm so biased because I've written three of my own. So I've got my newest, which is Rich by 30. It's been re-released as of a couple weeks ago. And Well Healed, which was released in May 2014. And prior to that, Rich by 40, which was 2010. I happen to think that those books are fantastic.
Yeah.
But when I first got started, there were not many financial resources for the young Canadian, and so I relied on The Wealthy Barber, which was David Chilton's phenomenon of a book.
Yep.
And I also really relied on the business section of newspapers when I was first getting started to understand what it was that these companies that I was interested in investing in were doing. So I think my resources back then were pretty helpful when I was getting started, but today they're limitless. You can find information on whatever you want money-wise on, you know, Yahoo Finance, Globe Investor, Morningstar. There's so many.
I want to ask you, throughout your career, you've been very passionate about encouraging women to get financially savvy. And, you know, probably when you were starting, there weren't as many women finance experts on TV or in the media. I'm curious about who you have looked to as role models for the career that you're carving out for yourself.
Really, really great question. And you have hit the nail on the head. There are still not very many women in the personal financial planning space. In fact, when major investment firms here in Canada were surveyed in 2014, it turns out that less than 20% of their advisors on staff were women. And I find that still a little disheartening because women have a real knack as advisors to help their clients in a more holistic way. And not to say that men, male advisors do not, but the approach is markedly different and they have evidence to support that. So when I started thinking about getting into this space, quite frankly, there were very few women on television writing books about money management besides, you know, Susie Orman in the US, who is Oprah's right-hand lady when it comes to money, and a couple of women here in Canada that got started about 25 years ago.
Yeah.
And when it, you know, I think the inspiration I had to pursue this career came from, yes, some of those awesome ladies that have done some great things in this space. But my inspiration has really come from the people that I meet. When I see the needs of my own network and group of followers and clients, I am motivated to help them. And yes, I'm inspired by the knowledge of so many that have come before me. But, you know, I think you can make a tremendous impact by just being inspired by the people that they have the needs that you're going to serve. And being responsive to that. I hope that makes sense.
Yes. Well, you're also incredibly relatable. I first saw your work, you know, I was just researching, you know, who do I relate to, who is speaking in English to me about money. And I saw you on a TV show called The Social. And I was like, yes, you know, she dresses really cool. She speaks English. When I say speaks English, I just mean you're not using a bunch of acronyms I've never heard before. And yeah, so I really appreciate that because it's interesting that you say Susie Orman and women that started 25 years ago, because they might not really understand what like the term side hustle means or things like that.
Well, and the other thing I think is really important to note is that trends with younger women and their money have changed significantly. And in the past, you know, 15 years, there are some huge issues that are surfacing for my generation of young ladies that are trying really hard to improve their financial and economic status. And they're still struggling with things such as the income gap between genders in the workplace. They're struggling with work-life balance, especially when it comes to family planning and career planning. On top of that, yes, they're making more money than previous generations, but my goodness, young ladies that are in our generation, they are spending like it is going out of style, and they're not prioritizing their savings in a way that they need to. And when you couple some of those factors together, what ends up happening is a generation of young ladies that are going to be highly underprepared for retirement, and they'll be the segment of the market that's at risk of being impoverished later in life. And I just simply think that needs to change. And that's really been a lot of the inspiration for my business and my books has been around improving young women's capacity to make awesome decisions with their money and making sure that they're aware of these trends and ensuring that they've got the skills to change the outcome for their future.
So you bring up so many points that actually kind of scare me because I'm like, I fall into some of those where it's been kind of hammered into our heads, save for retirement, save for retirement. But I found the real challenge with that advice, and I'd love to get your take on it, is that when you graduate from university or college and you have a huge debt and you're trying to get your first job and there's so many things that are just, you know, that you have to pay for, the idea of retirement is one of those things where it's like, oh, I'll figure that out next year. So what would you say to someone who's in that position now where they haven't started saving for retirement? They're like, that's not for me. I don't need to do that. Like, what would you tell them to even make them start to care?
You know, I think deferring to save for retirement it's an easy choice, right? Like it's the easy way out. And it's often the lethal weapon that will have probably one of the greatest financial impacts is just deferring year after year after year. And before you know it, you're in your late 30s or maybe early 40s and you don't have two nickels to rub together, but you've probably got a nice car and maybe even a nice house. And it's very frightening for younger women, I believe, to not prioritize their savings. And, you know, all I can say is the longer you wait, the less you'll have. The earlier you start, the less you have to save to achieve amazing things. And I'll give you a really good example. If you start saving your money about $100 a month or so, starting at the age of 20, you'll retire close to being a millionaire with, you know, average growth in the market, which, you know, sometimes that changes, but based on historical return. If you wait until you're 30, you have to triple that, if not quadruple that same amount to achieve the same result. And then if you wait till you're 40, you're talking about saving 12 or 13 times that same monthly amount to achieve the same result. Why the heck would you do that when you could start right now, have way more money in your own pocket to save? At the end of the day, you're doing yourself a huge disservice by deferring, and you're also giving up the power of compounded interest and reinvested returns. Now, that's the scariest thing, and I don't know that fear-based motivation really works for young women, but the scary thing I find is if a young woman just doesn't save, she has very few options for her future. So later in life, maybe at age 40, if she has no two nickels to rub together, what choices does she have? She basically has to accept her circumstances. If she has no ability to maybe retrain and go back to school, maybe she can't afford to put her kids through university eventually, or maybe she needs to leave her husband because he might not be the nicest person. If she has no financial capacity to do that, she is accepting what's happening to her. Why on earth would you do that? When our whole lives, we should be creating options for ourselves. And don't kid yourself, money is the biggest option creator when it comes to our age group. Mm-hmm. The more you have, the more choices you'll have for yourself, for your future, and to make your dreams come true. If you have less or none, or are in a negative position, which so many are, indebted, you're stuck. And why would you want to be stuck when you can avoid that?
And you're going to be helping people to get unstuck with MeVest. And I think this is the perfect time to share what is MeVest and how are you going to be helping us all, Leslie Ann, to get in better financial shape?
Well, MeVest is my brainchild and it's been growing for many years. And we officially opened last year. And MeVest has two ways to support Canadians and their money. The first way is through our coaching services. And money coaching is a lot different from investment advice or going to seek out insurance from an insurance broker. Money coaching is taking a holistic view of your total financial picture, everything from who you chose to marry and their habits to how much debt you have to whether or not you want to save for the future or buy a home or become a real estate tycoon. And a money coach work with an individual or a couple to identify what it is that they want to do with their life, what their dreams are, and then put a plan in place, one that actually works, and one that's not biased by selling products and services. It's a total view. And it's a balance between one's personal, career, and financial goals. So those three pillars are what drives the money coaching. The second stream of MeVest Business comes from our online learning platform, which I'm excited to say is nearly completed. And online learning is essentially online coaching, where you are taking a self-motivated approach and teaching yourself through our learning tools the basics about money and some more complicated factors. So, for example, we have various modules on debt reduction, saving for the future, how to have a money conversation with your partner, and so much more. And the learner goes through the interactive learning platform and engages with it and essentially creates a plan for themselves, but it's self-directed. So MeVest is about helping Canadians reach their financial potential. And we know that the best way to do that is by strengthening those three pillars that I mentioned earlier, the personal, the professional, and the financial pillars. And when all three areas are strong in a person's life, they are able to achieve great things and reach their potential. But when one area is weak, that's when dreams start to fade. That's when finances start to suffer. And going back to optionality, which we just talked about, you lose your options for the future when those three areas are not strong.
Yes, that sounds incredible. So we'll have to stay tuned on when that'll actually, when it's officially out. And I know that's going to take so much work putting together an online program. And so sending you good vibes to get that ready to go.
Thank you. Thank you. And we're really excited because our coaching services have really ramped up amidst all this market volatility. It is awesome to see Canadians like coming to us for support, and we're really able to make a difference in their life.
Yes, having a money coach, even somebody that, you know, that actually will, you know, you tell them you want to do something and then they will actually hold you accountable. That doesn't really exist in a scalable way that I've seen in Canada right now. So this is very exciting. Mm-hmm. So while we wait, I'd love to ask you, or while we wait for MeVest to be officially out there, what is one action that you would suggest to listeners who are recent graduates, young professionals, freelancers who are curious and want to figure out money, but they just don't know how to start? What would you say to them to really get started?
I may have two or three actions. I wish I could just have one.
Give us them all.
I know how hard it is to graduate and have a low income. I've been there. I know how hard it is as a freelancer. I've been there too, and certainly as an entrepreneur, when you're putting a lot of money into a business. One of the top pieces of advice I could give to those that are just getting started is to strike a balance between your debt reduction and your savings for the future. And the balance that I recommend is that with your what we call disposable income, and that's the income that you have after your basic needs are met. So food, clothing, and shelter, and we are not talking about Prada shoes. We're talking about the basics. The income that you have left over is, let's say, a little pot, and you want to allocate that pot approximately 2/3 to debt reduction, 1/3 to saving for the future. And if you use that 2/3, 1/3 rule, you'll be able to strike a balance between that debt reduction, that saving for the future, and ultimately growing what we call your bottom line. And your bottom line is your net worth. And that's the number that we track as financial coaches to grow. And if we're doing our job as financial coaches, it does grow. Mm-hmm. Because it's that measure of your assets minus your liabilities. So that would be my top piece of advice, would be to adopt the 2/3, 1/3 rule. And the second piece of advice, and this is equally important to the first, is do not be an accumulator of debt. It is very easy to spend 5 years paying off student loans, cars, etc., only to get yourself into a new car or a new loan. It happens all the time. We see it all the time. In fact, those with consolidation loans are typically first in line for another once they've completed paying off their first loan. Wow. And it's so counterproductive. So my second piece of advice is don't be an accumulator of debt. You have goals, you need to stick to them, and you need to avoid debt like the plague. It will be the ball and chain that drags you down and reduces your options for the future. And as we've talked about on like earlier in the conversation, optionality is key. The more options you have, the more rich you'll be, and the happier you will be.
And how can people get in touch with you or work with you now if they're like, oh my God, Leslie Ann is the gal for me. She's speaking my language. How do I get in touch with her? What's the best way to connect with you?
There are a couple of ways, one of which would be to go through MeVest. So just send me an email at leslie-ann@mevest.ca, or you can send me a tweet, so at Leslie Scorgi, or Facebook. I'm really accessible. So if you know, one of the listeners, your listeners feels they would like to connect, I am here. That's what I do. I love being in the financial coaching space, and I can't wait to hear from them.
And my final question is just, if you could leave everyone with some final words of wisdom that you've picked up over the years that you'd love to share with some, you know, young up and coming professionals that want to kick butt on their finances, keeping the show PG, what would you say is your final last words of wisdom to them?
I think it's really important for young people to pursue their passions, and money often follows passion. What we find when we're not pursuing our passion is that we don't work as hard, we're not motivated, and we're not as resourceful. So money follows passion, stick to it. But the caveat to that is, if your passion doesn't make money, you have to have practical skills in place to make money. And a really great example of this is in colleges and universities right now, we see a lot of people graduating without job opportunities. And they maybe did not pick a degree or diploma that had practical and relatable skills to jobs that are within their community. If you know you want to live somewhere and you know that there's a type of work that you want to be doing, you must pursue that practical skill set to help you grow your experience, but also make some money. Your passion will be that spark that's in your heart, and you can tap into that, and hopefully you'll be able to bring your passion into your work.
That is the true, that's the dream right there, is if you can find that way to get paid for your passion. And Leslie Ann, thank you so much for your time today. You know, we'll be sharing all of the resources and link to MeVest and all of your books on our site. So thank you so much for being here today.
Thanks so much, Gwen.
Thank you for listening. To find more interviews and tips to help you make Mo money, go to momoneymoprogress.com.